You may have heard me talk about him before, but there's a man named Jeff Walling who has impacted many people for Christ throughout the country. He's a dynamic preacher, and I had the privilege of seeing him preach at the 2011 North American Christian Convention. In fact, I purchased that video of his sermon and played it for a men's retreat that year as well. Well, Jeff Walling is now a professor at Pepperdine University over there in Malibu, California. But before moving back to the West Coast, he spent a few decades preaching at Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, while he was in Charlotte, I had the privilege of eating lunch with him, taking notes as he shared some advice that I still try to use today. And he has done that with a lot of young preachers or those who are in college and things like that. He's done a lot of great work. So how did he get to be that way? How did he get to be such a dynamic servant for the Lord? Well, part of the answer is his mother. His mother raised him up in a godly manner, and we benefit from her efforts as we see him preach today. Not only that, but she lived as an example of faithfulness, and that example is an inspiration, as we'll see in this clip here.
If I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I am a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and all knowledge and have the faith to remove a mountain and have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to flames and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, it's kind, it is not rude, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not self-willed, and it keeps no record of wrongdoing. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there is prophecy, it shall cease. Where there is tongues, they shall be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. And I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we know in part, but then we shall know fully as we are fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Well, Mildred Walling was 92 years old when they recorded that, and she passed away at the year of 93 years old the next year. That shows me you're never too old to memorize Scripture. She did that completely from memory. Yeah, that's cool. She spoke the entire chapter from memory, and I have a feeling that 1 Corinthians 13 was not the only chapter that she may have learned through the years. As I think about the moms that we have in our church, I can see Mildred Wallings around here. You know, I know that God has worked through them to strengthen their families and to raise godly children. As I think about godly mothers in the Bible, there is one mother that everyone should recognize, and I'm pretty sure they do, and that would be Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's take our Bibles out. Let's turn to John chapter 19. We're going to take a look at John 19, 25 through 27. That'd be page 905 in the Pew Bible if you want to look it up that way. That's John 19, 25 through 27. Mary had a very important role in the life of Jesus, but some people tend to elevate her to the status of a deity. Now, I'm not going to get into the views of the Catholic Church today, but I do want to say that although Mary is to be honored as one of the greatest moms in history, there is a line that we should not cross, and that is the point where the honor turns into worship. Well, this morning, Mary gives us an example of what a godly mother looks like, but she also shows us what a dedicated follower of Jesus looks like too. So there is a lesson for all of us to learn, not just for the mothers. In today's text, we return to the crucifixion of scene of what, right before Jesus dies. He's hanging on the cross. Most of the disciples had deserted him, but there were some who were faithful as they stood by the cross during these last few moments with the Messiah. There is no indication as to how close they were able to get to Jesus, but since they were able to hear what he was saying, I can imagine that they probably got fairly close to where Jesus was hanging. Well, let's take a look. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this wonderful example of Jesus taking into account that his mother needed to be cared for and entrusting her care into the hands of John the Apostle. He cared and loved his mother deeply. What an example for us to love and care for our mothers too. And when thinking about the life of Christ and how Mary had to watch her son go through what he did, it's a wonderful example of how she allowed your will to take priority over what she wanted. That's not just a lesson for mothers. That's a lesson for all of us. Help us to learn that lesson today. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we'll get back to this text towards the end of the sermon, but for now, I want to look at the life of Mary, and we can see three parts of Mary in this life. We see the part of a godly the foundation. We also see the focus, and we see the faith of this godly mother, Mary. So let's take a look at the foundation. Mary was not a cover girl, like cosmetics. You know, she did not wear, she may have wore makeup. I don't know if she did or not, but she was not concerned as much about the outward appearance as a lot of other women during that day. She was not concealing anything. Now, foundation, of course, the makeup is used to conceal. I had to look this up, of course, because I didn't really know about it. But basically, foundation, you put it on your face in order to fill in wrinkles and hide blemishes, and then you can put more makeup on top of it. Basically, it is makeup that gets your face ready for more makeup. It's, I don't know, it's kind of confusing to me. Well, foundation is used to conceal. However, a biblical foundation is used to reveal. And that's what Mary had, a biblical foundation. A biblical foundation reveals God. A biblical foundation reveals who you are. A biblical foundation reveals your relationships. When you base a relationship on the Bible, it stays. Well, Mary was grounded in the Old Testament scriptures. Just listen to Luke 1, 46 through 55. This is what's called Mary's song. She found out she was pregnant, and then she had this song. So here it goes. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of a servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.'" Notice that last part. She talks about Abraham and the offspring. It reveals her Old Testament knowledge, that she knew the scriptures. She had that foundation. God chose Mary because of her biblical foundation and her purity. being a virgin showed her purity. She kept herself pure for her husband. She did it right. Unfortunately, today, most parents will settle for a woman not being pregnant before getting married. But the standard should be for the couple to have been virgins before getting married. Well, Mary saved herself for Joseph, and Joseph saved himself for Mary. They did it right. Mary was also close enough to God to hear what he had to say. If you stand out in the parking lot of our church and put somebody over on the other side at the middle school there across the street, it would be kind of hard to hear that person talking, wouldn't it? Especially with traffic going by. You wouldn't really be able to hear what they're saying. In the same way, if you don't draw near to God, how can you expect to hear what he has to say? You have to be able to draw near to God. We should stay close enough to God so that we can hear him tell us what we need to be doing. In this case, Mary stayed close to God. God didn't have to go far. He knew exactly where she was when he wanted to speak to her and tell her that she was about to conceive, to give birth to the Messiah. She was available. She was pure. She had that biblical foundation for that solid relationship with the Lord. Well, let's also talk about her focus. She had her foundation. She also had focus. Mary knew that as Jesus was growing up, she was going to have to let him go in the worst possible way. No mother should ever have to bury her children. And Mary, when you think about the way that Jesus died, there's nobody should ever have to witness that, especially a mother, witnessing her own son being crucified like that. Jesus was at the temple, Luke chapter 2, 41 through 52. Let's take a look here at the fact that she started letting him go early in life. See, Jesus was 12 years old in this scene, and the family traveled as a group from Nazareth to the temple in Jerusalem. On the way back, Jesus is missing. Some people wonder how parents could lose track of their son, but we have to keep in mind that there was a large group of people traveling, as they were not alone. So it's easy to just assume that Jesus was walking with another member of the group. I mean, he's 12 years old at the time. He's probably spending time with another person. So I'm sure you can imagine the horror when Mary found out that her son was missing. In Luke 2:46, he says that it took them 3 days to find Jesus. That is definitely 3 days way too many for a son to be missing. So they finally find Jesus in the temple. Now, my question, Mary questions him, and what was his response? Why are you looking for me? I wonder what would happen if I tried to respond that way to my mom after being gone for 3 days. It probably wouldn't have gone over too well. However, it was probably a good thing that he was in the temple at the time. So if you're going to be found after being missing, probably be found in church would be a good place to be found. But well, you know, this separation was beginning between Jesus and Mary because Jesus understood his mission. He said, you know, I have to be about my Father's business. Before we leave the scene, I want to read Luke 2:51-52. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. As Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. See, verse 51 shows me that Jesus was submissive to his parents. In verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In other words, submitting to your parents is a major part of growing up to be the person God has designed you to be. Let me just kind of look this way a little bit here, and let me repeat this sentence for a second. Let's see. And submitting to your parents is a major part of growing up to be the person God designed you to be. Got it? All right. Anyway, yeah, well, Michaela's good. That's like having fun. You know, maybe I should say it to Brandon too. You got it? All right, we're good. All right, cool. All right. You know, some adult children need to learn that too, by the way, but I'm not going to talk to myself right now. Well, anyway, as parents, we should not be afraid to raise our children, especially if we want them to grow up in a manner pleasing to God. Society tells us that we should not be doing certain things. We should allow our children to do whatever they want to do, things like that. We should not be afraid to raise our children in a biblical way. Never apologize for raising up a godly man or woman. Never apologize for that. Psalm 22 verse 6 says that if we train up our children in a way they should go, even when they are old, they will not depart from it. You see, our children need to learn how to submit to God, and it begins with teaching them how to submit to parents. If you cannot submit to your parents, how can you submit to God? I'm not going to go too far into this point, but I do want to point out the fact that Jesus was obedient to his parents. He set the example for us to follow. He was submissive to his parents. You know what? Jesus was also at a wedding in John chapter 2, 1 through 5. The separation is continuing as Jesus is growing, and Mary knows that it's at some point he's going to have to make a public decision to leave the family and start his ministry. Well, this is the first miracle of Jesus' public ministry, and Mary was part of the scene. Listen to this. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Canaan in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Mary sees this opportunity for Jesus to let people know who he is. But Jesus, he did not want to do it yet. He knew the timing was off. But what did he do anyway? He went ahead and did it because he was submitting to his mama. Saying, "Well, it's not the right time, but mama told me to do it. I better go ahead and do it." So, and he does. Well, then we have this scene of Jesus being at the synagogue. Matthew chapter 13, 53 through 58. Verse 55, it says, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" You see, the people in the synagogue knew who Mary was. She was a mother who lived the life she wanted her kids to live. She lived the life that she wanted her kids to live. She was an example, just like Mildred Walling for Jeff Walling. She was an example for these kids. See, there was this gradual separation between Jesus and Mary as he was growing up. Mary had the right focus, and she was trusting God throughout the whole process. As our children grow up, we should remember that God is directly involved in our families, and we should have that same kind of faith and focus that Mary had during that time. So let's talk about the faith of Mary. Mary was an example for all Christians, not just for mothers. She agreed to the pregnancy. Let's take a look back there at the beginning. You know, that was optional. She did have an option to say no to the Lord. She could have. But in her mind, it wasn't an option, because that's how obedient and faithful she is. She agreed to this pregnancy, even though it was going to mess everything up. She lived her life in such a way that refusing God was not an option. Didn't even cross her mind. You see, we should live the way Mary lived. Sold out for God in such a way that refusing God's direction is not an option for us. No matter what happens in life, no matter what's going on, we are going to obey the Lord. That's the way we should live. That's the way we should teach our children as well. Well, something else we see as an example of her faith is that Jesus, James, and Jude are evidence of a godly household. Now, I'm sure the others, they may have done great things too, but we know for sure about Jesus, James, and Jude. Now, Jesus, of course, we know he's the Messiah. But what about James and Jude? Well, James and Jude, they wrote Scripture. We have the book of James. We have the book of Jude, right? James also led the church in Jerusalem, as we see a lot of passages about that. And he was very instrumental, very supportive of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. In fact, the Apostle Paul felt the need to tell James what was happening out there as he was traveling on his missionary journeys. Not because James was in charge, but because James was a trusted friend, a partner in ministry. He didn't get that way by accident. He was raised in a godly household. A godly household where the mother was Mary. Mary was committed to being the mother that God created her to be, not just with Jesus, but also with James and Jude and the rest of the family. She remained faithful even when seeing her son die on the cross. Think about what kind of faith that takes. I don't even want to think about what would happen if the Lord came to us and said, you know what? I want Eli or Will or Michaela to die for the church. I just don't know. I don't even want to think about that. But that's the kind of faith that Mary had. Not only to bring Jesus into the world, not only to raise him up in a godly household and get him moving where he needed to be, but to let him go and to let him suffer the way that he was about to suffer. Wow. I don't know if I would have that much faith. That's crazy to think about. Let's take a look again. John 19, 25 through 27. So, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus was giving his mother to the disciple so that he could take care of her. At this point, Mary had every right to be angry with God, but she chose to remain faithful because she knew that this was not the end of the story. She had faith that God was going to bring salvation out of this. She had faith that although everything was looking so dark and gloomy on Friday, that Sunday was a-coming. She had faith that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead and that salvation would be available to everybody because of her little baby boy. She had that kind of faith. Hallelujah! Thank God for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Her faith kept her near the cross when everybody else was turning away. Our faith should keep us near the cross too. Mary was an excellent example of a godly mother, but she was also an excellent example of a Christian. So here's my question. Do you have that kind of faith? The faith that Mary had. Can you trust God during those times when his ways are confusing? In fact, his ways can downright make you angry. Life is complicated, but God knows the end of the story. And during those moments when you feel the pain of the cross that you're bearing, remember that God will have blessings on the other side if you stay faithful to him.